Welcome to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe for free always at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, on with the show. This film was called The Dare, and I dared myself to watch it. Actually, I came across it because I was looking for what I have on Prime. I always forget that Prime offers a lot of movies with your Amazon Prime subscription. Sometimes they've been okay, other times it's been kind of touch and go. So I checked it out the other day and I came up with this film, this horror film called The Dare. And I dare you to see it. Just kidding. No. It's okay. I have to be careful because, you know, sometimes I get so cynical that I can't enjoy movies. And so I don't want to be super cynical. But to me, this was like almost like a no budget film. Just kind of threw it out there. Now there is some gore in it. And the gore probably took some latex and some blood and such and some thought and, you know, some eyeballs. But, you know, for the most part, there's just people talking and in a situation. The situation is you have three people that fall down into below the house into, I guess it's a well or kind of a chamber below the house. And you have these three people chained up and they're trying to get out. So right away, I thought of Saw, sort of reminiscent of Saw. And as it kept going, it was even more reminiscent of Saw because of the gore that took place. So there's kind of a dare that happens at some point. I'm going to try and not do too many spoilers, but there inevitably will be spoilers. So if that bothers you and you think you're going to see this film, you know, you might want to just go see it and then come back and listen, okay? So go ahead and turn it off now if you want to do that. All right, let's talk about Richard Brake. He plays the character Credence, and he is, how would I compare him? Maybe like Saw himself, but more just sort of like an inbred guy, lives by himself, apparently probably killed his wife, and he's raising this young boy. Well, you don't really know if it's his boy or not, and you find out pretty soon thereafter that it's not, and at some point when he was much younger, a group of his friends and him went up to this old house. We've seen this a lot in films. And basically, you know, somebody dared him to go in. So he did go in. And then once he got to the door, guess what? He got snatched up. So instead of reporting it, all the kids went home, went on with their everyday routines and just basically tried to forget about it. I think the boy was kind of playing chicken and he was like, he had a lot of bravado about it, so I guess they felt justified in not saying anything. So you find out later that these three people were part of that group. You don't know at first. It comes up later. And the killer is that boy. And so it kind of does the background of this boy being abused and growing up with such a harsh, insane, not really his father, but you know, sort of an adoptive, he's sort of an adoptive son to this guy, and the guy is sick, and he teaches him a lot of sick things, like how to pull skin off people and things like that, and how to take pain, and how to, whenever there was something to be done that would cause pain, the quote-unquote father would make the kidnapped boy do it to himself, or even do it to the father, like cut skin off his shoulder, things like that, or stick a knife into a wound in his shoulder. That part is really gross. So I just found myself, and this is happening to me a lot, as I watch these really low, no budget horror films, I just want to turn it off, but I just hung in there, and you know, it's not too bad. Like when you get to the end, I think it's actually kind of a cool movie. Really gross. The ending is a total twist. Not totally. I mean, you could guess it, but yeah, it's just it, you know, you obviously if you've seen it, you know, you think he's dead, but then he's not dead. So that kind of thing. Well, don't we see that in Friday the 13th, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Halloween? Yeah, we've seen that before. Jason's not really dead. He's coming back for a sequel. I don't think this one will have a sequel, although you never know. There were actually, according to Amazon Prime Video, there were 1,000 reviews, and it got a 4 out of 5. So I have to really kind of question that. That's a lot of reviews. That's a lot of people sitting on their couch giving it a 4. I don't know. I'm not saying they're lying. It's just, it certainly was not a 4 out of 5 for me. I give it more of like a 2.5. But the ending, it did get better at the end. And the end was kind of cool. But like my mother used to say, nothing to write home about. It's an interesting film. If you're looking for a horror film, you just got your pizza delivered and you want to watch a horror film, this would be the good one to watch, definitely. The Dare on Prime Video. It's also on Fire TV, whatever that is. I assume that one is free. I have Prime, so to me, I didn't have to go watch the free version with ads. I can't even imagine sitting through this film with ads. Although I'm learning more and more that ads are not all that bad of a situation to watch a film with, because you can get up and do stuff, you know, at the commercials. Plus, there's a lot of cool commercials out there that we've all been missing. And I miss, you know, when I grew up, you know, I was like 10 to 20 in the 1980 to 1990, and there were so many ads that you'd laugh about and tell your friends about and stuff like that. I remember the Wendy's, "Where's the beef?" with the little old lady. That was funny. If you remember that one, sign off in the comments, would you? You're definitely brethren with me. So, yeah, it worked okay. It was pretty good. It was very low budget. I watched another one last night. I think I watched this one the night before last. And last night I watched another one that was definitely not as good. But I'm going to do a review on that. So my next review, you'll hear about that. That one was kind of interesting because it was, even though it was really poorly acted and poorly written, it was all done through one of those Ring doorbells. It's like the whole thing was done through a Ring doorbell. So that was kind of interesting. And so I'll talk about that more in my next episode. But as far as this one, just to kind of wrap it up, really gory. A lot of, at some point, they said to the girl, you know, you need to, or the guy, the creepy kid says, you've got to take his eye out with this knife. And she doesn't want to do it. It's her friend and stuff. But they've learned by being tortured down there so long that if they don't, they're just going to be killed. Or they're going to be tortured too. So she goes real quick. And I'm thinking, you know, if I had to do that and I really needed to do that, I'd probably be trying to be a surgeon. Get it done real quick, you know. And that's exactly what she does. So these things are, they're gory and they're intense. It's probably more, I don't want to make myself sound old, but kind of like the 18-year-olds that want to push the envelope of how gross something is. It's like for that crowd. As far as a creepiness, zero creepiness. As far as a great story, zero great story. One other thing I did want to mention is there was a movie called Chained. I don't know if you've seen it, but you can look it up. It came out in the past 10 years. I can't remember what year. But it is a similar story, but it's a lot more involved. I remember it has a female director because I talked about it on a show where we were talking about female directors. And my friend Darren brought it up, and I end up watching it. And it's one of those movies that makes you feel so bad inside, but in a good way. Does anybody relate with that? I'm sorry, it's kind of embarrassing to say that because it doesn't make any logical sense, but I guess it does in a way. Endorphins and all the adrenaline and all that stuff, you know, of being in pain kind of can produce a sort of ethereal effect or something like that. So yeah, that watch that movie Chained. If you're interested in a story of people being chained, or a father who's not a father, and it was D'Onofrio plays the dad in that one. Boy, he was good in that. Vincent D'Onofrio. So it's called Chained, and you know, same thing happens. He abducts a kid, and the kid, or you know what, it might even be his real kid. It's been going a few, it's like at least 5 years back I saw that, But the point is the same, that he's torturing the kid. One thing that's really just gives you the ooglies is that the Vincent D'Onofrio character would go ahead and, like, eat his eggs and toast. And then whatever was left, that was the kid's meal. He'd just give it to give him, like, the dregs of whatever was left. And it never changed. He did that for, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And so the kid would just, at first, he's, like, gross, recoiling at it. But he got hungry, you know. And after a while, he was just devouring it like a dog whenever his dad would give him the plate. So there's a lot of torture going on in there. And it definitely makes you feel oogly. But that film is a lot better for the same kind of film with the same theme. So I recommend Chained. Watch that. But The Dare is, you know, it's okay. I did want to touch on the fact that, like so many films about killers, the killer is abused, and then he grows up to be the killer. Usually you find out he's the killer first, then it flashes back to whatever happened to where he was abused, and I still don't understand what the directors want us to think about this. Are we supposed to go, oh, that makes so much sense that he's killing people because he was abused? I never really got the correlation there. I know people say, you know, kids who are abused will grow up and abuse their kids. Yeah, I've heard that. And that's, but I think it's kind of a stretch to say if you're kidnapped and you're abused that you're going to go be a serial killer. It seems like you'd want to get away from that kind of treatment, especially with this kid. That's kind of what happens with this kid in The Dare. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, some stuff I just go, that's kind of iffy. And I don't really understand. If you feel like you have a reason why they put that in films, sound off in the comments. I'd love to talk to you about it. And I'm sure everybody else would want to hear, too, a little dialogue on that. So I didn't like that. I didn't feel like that was realistic. Making each other take the knife and do things to each other, I kind of would have gotten that if the killer was, like, mentally, you know, challenged. But it was their friend. It was their friend from when they were kids, not that long ago. And so I just found it hard that he would find pleasure, no matter how mad he was, that they left him behind, which is kind of the premise. You know, they left you behind, so you're going to capture them all in chains and have them torture each other. It just seems like, you know, when he got the freedom to get out, he probably would get out. And he really, he puts this strange thing of skin that is reminiscent of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Leatherface. He puts that on his head and just, I found it all hard to buy. It was just hard to buy. And I know it's horror and horror is fantasy, so you got to give a little bit there. But I guess I like horrors that really could happen, like Chained. You know, they show how he kept him. They show how he barricaded his house and had chains everywhere and put him on this and that so he could do this and that. And he could, you know, they show him putting the groceries away and just basic chores that he could do. And that film with Vincent D'Onofrio called Chained is really what I'm ending up talking about, because that one, it made me think of that film. And that film was much better. So if you get a chance and you're interested in watching The Dare, 1,000 people gave it a 4 out of 5, or an average of 4 out of 5 on Amazon Prime. So even though I don't believe that, or something is wrong there. Like if you go to Internet Movie Database, I don't even know what it scored. Maybe somebody can look it up for me. I didn't even care to with this film, but I usually look it up on multiple places. I'm guessing it's going to be like a 2.5 out of 4, 2.5, yeah, 2.5 out of 4, something like that. But anyway, now I want to go look it up when I'm done here. I'm not good at multitasking and recording while looking things up. It's just something I've kind of surrendered that I'll never do. Although I know a lot of people do that on podcasts, and I think it's great. I'm kind of unable to do that. I can only focus on one project at a time, and that's talking to y'all and finishing an episode. So anyway, The Dare, my final word, really poor acting. I think the dad that plays him, I've seen him in things. Maybe even the Walking Dead. I don't know. I've seen him in things. And he always plays a real creepy old killer type guy. I do know that, but I don't have any stats for you and I don't have any sources for you. I'm actually recording this reclining, just holding my phone in front of my face. So sometimes I do it that way. But I hope I've given you a lot of leads. If you're interested in these types of films, yeah, go ahead and see it. I've got one to talk about next that I don't think was as good as this one. So there you go. It's better than at least one other movie that's on Amazon Prime. But, you know, let me add one more thing. If you're looking for horror movies to watch, you know, one way to do it is to just, like, open up something you subscribe to, like Showtime or, you know, Max now. It used to be HBO Max. Now it's Max. So open Max and then just scroll down to the horror section and look for stuff there you haven't seen before. And that's what I did here. And, you know, it was entertaining. I will say it did entertain me. It got me thinking about some things. And it gave me enough to do a podcast on, but wasn't much better than that. But, you know, I still keep waiting by doing that process. Every now and then I do find a real gem. And the next one, probably tomorrow, I'll talk about the one that's through the ring thing on the door. That had some interesting aspects. And I think if we get too cynical, then we miss some of those cool little things because we're looking at the big thing. But in some of these real low-budget or no-budget horror movies, there definitely are some cool things. And there are some cool things in The Dare on Prime Video. So that's it for me. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, have a great day. Okay, I just saw The Boogeyman, written by Stephen King, adapted from a Stephen King short story, and the director was pretty good. I do not have his name in front of me, but he definitely did a good job. I did have some pros and cons. The pros were the photography was beautiful, and I loved how he used low lighting and dimmer switches to make things creepy when really there was nothing in the room other than that. And I think, you know, less is more there. So I like that about what the director chose. There were some parts of the movie where you just knew it had to be Stephen King's writing. For example, the little girl has a loose tooth, loose molar actually. And so her dad ties a string around it and puts it on the door and, you know, he's gonna knock it out that way, that terrifying way that we all heard about when we were kids, but they never did that in my house, and I'm very thankful for that. We were just allowed to work on it until it finally came out, and I think that's, you know, that's what I did with my kids as well, although sometimes they really wanted it out, so they did, you know, twisted it real hard to get it out and get their dollar or $2. Never understood why that'd be worth all the pain of a tooth extraction, but that's kind of how it was with my kids growing up too. It was a movie about grief, which we've seen in Hereditary and some other films recently, that has to do with people dealing with their grief. And the way I read those types of movies, and this movie also, is that the grief takes the form of this creature. And to me, that's a little going overboard. I do look at the grief idea in horror as kind of sort of beating a crying dog over the head. It's like, why do we really need to go that way? I like the idea of, you know, creatures and such coming in to haunt people without it having to be a manifestation of their mother dying or things like that. So that was kind of the basic story of this one, and it did work. I saw the interview with the director, and again, you have to look him up because I don't have his name in front of me, but he said, "We all come together under the banner of grief." I would put him in his mid, even early 20s, very young guy. So maybe he's experienced grief more than I assume he has not. But he definitely wove that in to the way he made the story. And that was not impressive to me. But then right after that, he sort of saved himself by saying, "We also all come together with fear of the dark, being afraid of the unknown, things like that." So
I could come together more and agree and really get behind a horror movie that focused on the commonalities of fear more than the commonalities of grief. But this one does mostly focus on grief, and the people in the film that are going through the grief are the people that have dealt with this creature. And I will say that I've seen a few movies with this same name, and I think that this one, The Boogeyman 2023, is definitely the best, and I will give it that. However, when you're dealing with a film that is just like others we've seen recently that has to do with grief, to me, it sort of capsizes the boat that was rolling through and scaring me. And that's all I'll say about that as my criticism. I will say, again, getting back to the visuals, there are some scenes toward the end, especially in the final scenes, that are so creepy. They're almost like an acid trip. It's like your mind is like questioning, what am I looking at here? And even in pictures on the wall, and there's some amazingly huge pictures above the TV and above the couch, and they work really well throughout the film. And then in the end, they almost start like coming to life with reds and yellows and purples, and really, really well done. So all in all, I'm not going to do a huge review on it, but I will say that you will not be disappointed if you go see this film. I will say, as I close, that it looks like there's about 5 horror movies that are coming out in the next few months that all look really, really good. So maybe I'll do a show on some of those previews. I've done that in the past. But for now, I would say that The Boogeyman is a win-win. Good job, Stephen King, once again. I just wish that it wasn't so much of a metaphor for grief. I wish it was an actual boogeyman. We just had the situation happening that wasn't so metaphorical with the loss of a mother or loss of a family member. But having said that, it's pretty damn good. I'd probably give it a 6 out of 10. And I will see you next time.